It is 10 o'clock on Thursday, February 22nd, and we hereby commence the board meeting for the Arizona Board for Private Postsecondary Education. Always read this. Am I supposed to read this whole thing, Kevin?
You don't need, you should read it, yes.
Okay. Pursuant to ARS 38-431.02, notices hereby given to the general public and to members of the Arizona State Board for Private Postsecondary Education, that the board will hold a board meeting open to the public on the date and time indicated above, which is today, at this time. The meeting will be held digitally, online. The full meeting agenda and list of applications to be considered can be found online at www.ppsc.ac.gov. The board reserves the right to change the order of items on the agenda, except for those matters set for a specific time. The formal hearings and formal interviews are scheduled to be heard during specific time blocks. The board chairperson, however, reserves the right to call cases in random order. The board, upon a majority vote of a quorum of the members, may hold an executive session on any of the listed agenda items in order to obtain legal advice pursuant to ARS 38-431.03A3. Americans with Disabilities Act. Persons with a disability may request a reasonable accommodation, such as a sign language interpreter, or a copy of this document in an alternative format by contacting the executive director, Mr. Kevin LaMallon, at 602-542-5716. And with that, we have been called to order, and let's do a roll call. Mr. LaMalle.
Dr. Mittman?
Present.
Dr. Mittman is present. Mr. Romano?
Present.
Mr. Romano is present. Dr. Leck?
Present.
Dr. Leck is present. Mr. Wallace?
Present.
Mr. Wallace is present. Mr. Ball?
Present.
Mr. Ball is present. Ms. Kelly? Ms. Kelly?
Present, sorry. Present.
Great. Ms. Kelly is present. And Dr. Boutte?
Present.
Dr. Boutte is present. For staff, Assistant Attorney General Jean Galvin?
Good morning.
Present.
Ms. Keith Ledger. Jacqueline Rome?
Present.
Ms. Noelle Vetter?
Present.
And I'm Kevin Lamont. So all are present.
All right. Do we have any declarations? Do we have any conflicts of interest? Can anyone, if anyone does, please declare yourself and your conflict?
Yeah, this is Michael Romano. Just in regards to the first matter with UEI and IEC, as an ACCFC commissioner, I've been involved in other discussions related to this school system as a whole. So as a result, I am going to recuse myself from any discussions related to that matter.
Thank you. Yep. Anyone else? Okay. Hearing none, we will move on the agenda. Review, discuss possible action on approval of board meeting minutes. I move to accept the audio recordings as the official open minutes of the board meeting from January 25th, 2024. Can I get a second, please?
I'll second.
Dr. Leck. Thank you, Dr. Leck. And Mr. LaMountain, let's vote.
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte?
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. By the vote of 7 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Thanks. And while you're at it, Mr. LaMountain, do you have an executive director's report to share with us?
I do. So in your folder, there is the executive director's report. I've put together the financials for both of the accounts. Per request from Mr. Romano during our last meeting, I also have included a breakdown of each account and where our expenditures are for these accounts. So that information has now been provided to you. Just a really high level overview, we're still on track for our operations account. Regarding expenses and revenues, our overall general fund of that account has actually gone up to $425,217. So we're headed certainly in a direction that we'll be finishing off the year exactly where we thought we would be when we started the year, barring any additional challenges or issues that we have coming up. That does include some expenses that we did not account for, which are ongoing expenses related to the utilization of Salesforce that we are still using, along with the Ventia software that we are not using at this particular point in time. So that is adding, will add this year about a $30,000 additional expense for that. So I don't know if you have any questions regarding the financials, but again, provided all of those for you. The school closure list. So from July 1 through February 20, you'll notice it's a fairly substantial jump in number of closures, keeping in mind the majority of these closures are locations of institutions that have multiple locations in Arizona that have closed down. Some of the locations at some of the Air Force bases, and some other locations as well. So a number of those institutions still have a physical presence in the state of Arizona, but it's just at a different location. You'll see under the current schools, we have 224. There's obviously a number of the new schools being provided to you today for potential approval that will potentially bump that number up. And then we have quite a few in the pending and under review status that you'll see over the upcoming couple of months during our board meetings of quite a few new schools that are wanting to come into Arizona and get licensed. In terms of service requests, you see the information in there, about average to where we were last year in the number of requests for new programs. I wanted to just quickly, there was an accreditation action for LifeWork, which was, if we recall, formerly Wizard. They were on our financial watch list for quite some time. And they now are under a show cause from their accreditor. So we'll be monitoring that. They will be reporting next month under the Finance Committee. So we'll be watching them closely. The legislative update, I wanted to just give you a quick update on SB 1039, which is our continuation bill. We just received notification this morning that our bill goes before the House next Tuesday at 2 p.m. So obviously I'll be there representing the board if anyone else is interested in coming down to the legislature and spending an afternoon there. That would be great. But you can watch it, the live stream on the azledge.gov website if you want to see what's going on there. I also feel free to log into that site, the AZLedge site. The AZLedge site, you can sign up in support of anything of that particular bill if you're interested. Dr. Boutte, I see that your hand is raised.
Yes, it's not related to this. It's related back to conflicts of interest, similar to Mr. Romano. I need to declare that I have reviewed some versions of UEI at ACCEP.
Okay, great. Thank you. And then lastly, on the report, the state of Arizona is going to a new processing system for credit card payments. And that will increase the fee that institutions pay, or anybody that uses our automated system. And so that will be a 2.2% increase for anybody utilizing the the credit card system. So I just wanted to let the board know that I'm going into it, that there is still an option where it doesn't cost any additional processing fees for institutions, and that would be if they choose to utilize the ACH, the electronic payments, through their checking account. But outside of that, that's it. So if there's any questions, I'd be happy to answer. If not, we can move on.
Thank you very much. Any questions?
No, just appreciation for breaking out those financials. Thank you for taking the time to do that.
You're welcome.
Yeah, and I assume that all the schools will get like some kind of notification when it's renewal time about the payment, the credit card processing fee from the state.
They will. I believe that the implementation of that is going to be closer to May, June timeframe. So as soon as I get the official word, I will send that out to the institutions and let them know what's happening.
Okay. And for those who want to, thanks for the heads up about, and it, you said it's tomorrow, right? The House vote.
Sorry, next Tuesday.
Okay. And can you say the bill again?
It's SB 1039. So to track it, you just go to the azleg.gov site, and then you can type in SB 1039. You can follow along with the process.
Okay, great. And for those who are interested, you have to, there's a request to speak web page or something like that. And so that's how you would put in a your support for the bill. You have to be registered in person the first time. So somebody, if this would be your first time to support a bill electronically, you actually can't do it without going down to the legislature. But if you want to, it's a handy thing to have. You only have to do it once. And thank you very much, Mr. LaMountain. I think Dr. Leck and I were there for one of the hearings in the fall. And, in addition to being a unanimous vote, the Senate committee was really complimentary of the work of the board. So thank you, and to all the staff for doing such a great job.
Thank you.
And with that, we will move on. Review and discussion. So I do not believe that we have an action here. This is, maybe we do.
We should not have an action. This is just a quarterly update report.
Okay. And so this is on some actions with the Department of Education and State of Florida, with UEI and IEC. And so it looks like we have a couple of representatives. And would you like to make an opening statement?
This is Krista Jones, getting myself off mute. I will ask Sanjay to go first to talk about our financials. Sanjay, you on?
Sure. Good morning, Anton and the board members. Financially, we've been providing our quarterly reporting every quarter to Mr. LaMountain, so he's aware of how our campuses in Arizona are doing, as well as our balance sheet. We're, as IEC, we're on strong footing financially, doing well. Our current ratio is sitting at about 2.5. So we're feeling very positive about our financials as well as about our balance sheet. If there are any specific questions, I can answer those.
Okay. And then Ms. Jones?
We have Aaron Mortensen, our general counsel, on with us, and I'm going to ask him to speak to the settlement with the Department of Ed.
Yeah, good morning to the board. Good morning to Mr. LaMountain and to the staff present. Aaron Mortensen, I'm the general counsel of IEC, International Education Corporation, and the UEI colleges. We're pleased to come before the board today and let the board know that we have resolved all outstanding issues with the U.S. Department of Education via a settlement agreement that was signed on February 2nd. I believe the settlement agreement and the terms therein have been presented to the board, but happy to answer any questions if there are any. But wanted to make sure that the board was aware that all issues outstanding with the U.S. Department of Education have been resolved via a global settlement.
Okay. Thank you. Questions from board members? I guess the first question that I have is, thank you for the updates. It looks like the withdrawal from or the closure of the program in Florida was part of the settlement, if I understand correctly. I believe it represented about 30% of the school's revenue. Is that right?
Mr. Pollup, just under 20%. It depends on the year, but last year was just under, or in 22, it was under 20%. And then last year, of course, it was less than 8 or 10%.
Okay. And how will that, and, you know, I see your balance sheet. We have the income statements for the Arizona schools, the Arizona campuses, but I don't see the income statement for the parent corporation.
We can provide that to Mr. LaMountain so you can get a copy of that. But the parent corporation did fairly well. Our results in 23 were comparable to 22. Florida College for us, while it was a small part of our company and a small part of our revenue, it was high in cost. Essentially the expenses and the revenue kind of offset each other for the most part and didn't really impact overall IEC's performance.
Okay, well, that was my question then. If you could have that, submit that for the next, next monthly submission to the board, that would be great.
Absolutely, will do so.
Okay. And then from a staffing, I know that there were some staffing changes as part of the settlement as well.
Yeah, that's correct, Dr. Mann.
And I assume that those, you know, that position has been replaced.
That's correct. The position has been replaced. We're in the process of corporate formalities for approvals, and it will be announced shortly.
Okay. Any other questions from the board? Okay. Hearing none, thank you very much. And we will see you. Mr. Oman, do they come before the finance committee? Is that the?
They don't. They will come back before the board in the next quarterly window.
Okay. That would be good. All right. Look forward to seeing you then. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Okay. Next, we have new applications, 5 of them. I'll entertain a motion to call them in random order, which is my purview. But we'll start with the Academy of Dental Assisting. And Dr. Boutte, you are the lead here.
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Mittman. Is there anyone present from American or Academy of Dental Assisting?
Yes, I'm present. My name is Dr. Greg Monteroso, and I'm a practicing dentist in Phoenix and the potential owner of Academy of Dental Assisting.
Thank you. I have reviewed all of the documents that were presented with the application. I have some questions. Wanted to check in around them. My understanding is that when it comes to the documents that were submitted, is it these things that you created and presented or you had the support and assistance of?
I had the support and assistance of a company called GMAX. To the best of my knowledge, they have done this many times before in other states. They've done it in Arizona, and they basically guide me through the process. But all of the information in the application was done by myself.
Okay. And did you review those final documents before they were sent to the board?
I did.
Okay. There's some things that I noticed within the business plan and some other places that there's quite a few inconsistencies and incongruities. And some of it doesn't even relate directly to a dental program in any way. For example, sections 1 through 5 of the business plan are related to other items. One of them speaks to vehicle mobility and automated systems. In another place, there is a section that discusses Maryland for market size and growth. So I wonder if you could speak to some of those inconsistencies.
To be honest, I'm not sure what you're referring to. So there may have been, this is GMAX is a company that does this all over the country. So I'm not sure if that was on their end. But my intent is to, like I said, I'm a practicing dentist, so I see assistants all the time. My intent was to create a school where we could teach young men and women how to become dental assistants with a hands-on approach. So I'm not sure what you're referring to regarding the business plan in Maryland.
Okay. Yeah, I think it'd be good for you to review the business plan as it was submitted, because there are some inconsistencies in there. One of my questions, yes, Mr. Lamont.
Dr. Petit, committee members. So there's three schools before the board today that were done by the same group. And we have seen some inconsistencies and challenges in each of those. We have communicated that to the individual who we work directly with, which is not Dr. Monteroso, but the individual that is hired to do that. And there's consistency in the business plan and the marketing plans that come from that from that organization that are not consistent with the application that you see before you. I just wanted to make that clear that you're going to see it a couple more times as well. And it's unfortunate. And we've communicated that as effectively as we can to the individual who put these applications together. And unfortunately, in some cases, it was, you see, what you've got is what the best we could get out of them.
Thank you. I understand. And I appreciate that conversation. So, Dr. Montrose, when I was looking through the financials and the projections, if you just speak a little bit to the growth in the school that you're seeking once you do get started.
Sure. So the company I think that Mr. LaMountain was referring to is the company that I hired because, you know, I wanted to start a school. I really had no idea where to start. I found this company, paid them a fee. It was, and this is surprising to me, what Mr. LaMountain just said. And, I had no idea. But basically what they told me is that they would help me with the application process. They would expedite it. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened either. My plan is to have 12 students at a time, to have a 4-to-1 ratio, so three instructors, including myself or including my wife, who's also a licensed practicing dentist here in Arizona. And our growth would, you know, hopefully be one class per quarter. It's a 12-week program. The student, you know, pays the tuition fee, and it's 8 hours a week, either two evenings of 4 hours each or a Friday or a Saturday of 8 hours. They're tested. They can't move on to the next segment in the curriculum until they pass the test. I'm not looking to make this, you know, a large institution. I just thought it would be beneficial to the practice of dentistry based on my own experience and having assistants come through my private practice that weren't really, I didn't think they were trained as well as they could be. And our goal as dentists was to train them with a dentist's perspective of, hey, this is what, you know, we need to do. So, you know, if I do one class a quarter, I'd be happy with that. So I do two classes a quarter, even better. But I want to have a true hands-on you know, I'm not starting a school and never showing up. I want to be there, and I want to teach these students how to be, you know, good, qualified, certified dental assistants.
Thank you for that. And thank you for wanting to move that forward. You know, small schools are some of the things that drive any industry forward, and I appreciate that want. And, you know, some of my line of questioning is really to ensure and to help you be engaged in the process as becoming a school owner, and knowing that, you know, you will be responsible for whatever those documents are and what you say you're doing. You know, so definitely taking some time to really lean into and understand how you want the business to look. You know, one of the things that stood out for me is an intention and a plan to seek or to have approval for Veterans Administration monies and workforce investment monies. And those things require effort on the school's part in order to maintain and to secure and those kinds of things.
Right.
So just making sure that I understand the package piece and what these other folks are doing, but to make sure moving forward that you do have that time investment in the process.
Yes.
Ms. Rum.
Dr. Boutte, thank you. I just wanted to make a comment on something that Dr. Monteroso stated about the company he hired could expedite the process. And I just want to let everybody know on this call, a company cannot expedite the process of licensure. So if a company is telling you that, please note they have no control over the actual process that we go through once we start the review and how many applicants are in the queue before them. So just kind of be careful with that information, please.
Yes, understood. What I meant by that comment was that they told me they would help to expedite the application process because, you know, I've never done this before. So they said we can help you through it with all of the requirements that are required by the state to which you are applying, which in this case is Arizona.
Yeah.
Thank you both. Mr. LaMountain, question. In circumstances like this, what's the correct protocol to provide more detailed feedback back to the applicant? It doesn't feel like enumerating it here is useful in the time. Is there a process where they would connect back with staff?
Correct, Dr. Boutte and members of the board, if you have specific comments that you want or specific items that you need updated, what you would do is just provide that information to me. We will communicate it back to the institution. And I mean, it sounds like, for example, an updated business plan that is more aligned with expectations of how to run a business, that we would send that back to them and then request those updates. That could be as part of a motion that you would make to approve, mm-hmm. if that was something that you wanted to do, or a motion that you would make to delay and postpone.
Thank you. Because there are a few other things in the catalog and here and there. I don't think any of them are huge that would stop forward movement, but they are things that I feel need to be corrected. Are there any other questions or comments from members of the board?
Yeah, I'll jump in real quick. I had a few that came up, and I appreciate Dr. Perry, what you've already kind of called out from that standpoint. And Mr. Monteroso, certainly appreciate and respect where you're trying to get to, right? We normally see this with practitioners out there in the industry who can see a demand and a need for more talent out there and receiving that training. And sometimes the owner operator can lean into what they know best, which is their practice and how to deliver that education, and sometimes be a little soft around understanding you're now operating a school and there are expectations associated with that, from an oversight and a management and a delivery. And so some of the other things to take note of, for example, is even within your business plan, you give a range of tuition between around, I think it's 3,000 to 13,000. And obviously that is not consistent with what you have on your EA. So those are things that we just want to have sensitivity to. You'll also notice in your marketing materials and even your website stand up that you have, there are some things to be sensitive to in regards to how you present things of marketing, such as pay scales, pay amounts on an hourly basis, starting with, you know, $20 and up. In regards to that, certainly that may be your experience with that, but you would need to be able to substantiate that in case a student ever came back and said, hey, I'm not earning $20 an hour, and I was told that. You'll also see things of where you've used things like job placement. And although you have on your EA the disclosure or the disclaimer in regards to not guaranteeing job placement, on your website prototype, you just call out job placement, which could just lead the consumer to think, hey, you are going to place me in a job after I complete this this education. So it's those subtleties that you really will have to start to lean into, as Dr. Butte had mentioned, of really understanding and appreciating what responsibilities you are taking on by operating the school, the expectations and commitments you're making to the students to help them move through the program as a whole as well. Okay. For general awareness on that. I did want to just clarify too, if I understand, you're looking to offer classes only on Sunday. Is that accurate or?
No.
No.
No, I saw that. Again, this is from the GMAX, which is the hands-on dental assisting company that I used. I don't know why it says that there. My plan is two evenings a week for those who are working, 4 hours. It's 8 hours per week that they must complete. So it's two evenings of 4 hours per day, and then either a Friday or a Saturday for 8 hours.
You can probably understand as a board our responsibility, right, to try and reconcile what's being provided to what you're stating now, which is different, materially different. And with that sensitivity, I think it becomes really hard for us to say, do we have a clear understanding of what this school is wanting to do outside of verbally articulating it to us, which is different than the what's been provided in writing from that standpoint. So I think that's where Dr. Butte is trying to come around to say, we want to help you be successful. We appreciate and understand the need for this type of education in the marketplace, while at the same time, we have an obligation to understand how you do intend on operating that school that is consistent with your vision, your plan to execute versus that of a group that may have helped you construct some of the guardrails to it. So, you know, we would strongly, I think, not to speak for Dr. Butte or the rest of the group here, the board, but certainly we want to try and understand that so we can help you be successful and also help protect the consumers within Arizona as well. And I'll leave it at that, Dr. Butte.
Understood.
Thank you, Mr. Morano. Dr. Monteroso, do you have any other comments, Mr. Morano's questions?
So I guess I'm not really two things. It seems like the company that I used, it's too ambiguous. They need to be more clear. They need to say things like, and I know, you know, I know personally what the range is in terms of salary. I know the number of hours that's needed per week, but it seems like instead of saying job placement, we will assist you in trying to find a job. Is that kind of more down the road that we're talking about? And then in terms of the salary, you know, we hire temporary assistants all the time. So there is a range in terms of the hourly based on their experience.
Yeah.
So I just, if I'm understanding everybody correctly, it just needs to be more accurate, more clear. Is that
part of it? And as Mr. Romano is saying, you know, it's as an institution, as a school, we can't guarantee placement. We can't even necessarily guarantee what the amounts that somebody will earn would be as they're getting out into the business and being placed. So in the marketing materials, it becomes really incumbent on schools to speak the truth as much as possible. And there's some truth that can be known and some that can't. And, you know, there's superfluous language in there. There's some language that is very superlative, which is difficult from a marketing perspective as well. And it really does feel like there's some misalignment between the way you want to run your school and the some of the information that maybe happened between you and the company. Yes, Mr. Lamont.
Dr. Patea, members of the board. So, and it is clear and it's important for all of the schools that are online right now too. And I think sometimes we have to have these conversations at a board meeting to let everyone know the importance of what they're doing. But there are rules and there are statutes that each of these institutions have to abide by. And it's very critical for the owner, for the person that's ultimately responsible for the institution, to understand what those rules and what those statutes are. And if they have not read them, unfortunately, that's a mistake, at least from staff concern. So it would behoove everyone that owns a school to read them, understand them, and if there are questions, we are open to always have a conversation about what it means, what the rules are, why they apply to you, how they apply to your current situation. So I just wanted to put that out there because we are having this conversation and it's important that everyone understand that. And then in terms of the other institutions that are on here and you know, including Dr. Monteroso, is that you hire, because there are a number of other schools, a number of applications, a couple of them, again, on here today that have hired people. Ultimately, you're responsible for the content of the documents that you submit. So the business plan, the marketing plan, the marketing materials, all of that have to be reviewed and, you know, have the owner sign off on it. So enough said. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mountain.
Dr. Boutte, can I just add a couple of things? So thanks, Dr. Monteroso, for being here and for your intention to start a school, basically, you know, to make the experience for patients and the practices and the dentists a better experience by having better trained dental assistants. So I get that. I think just a couple of things, you know, some of the things around, you know, salary expectations, you know, use something like the Department of Labor as a reference. So having a reference is good because otherwise it's just a subjective statement. And that a lot of these comments are to protect students from ridiculous activities, which we're not saying is the case here, but it also protects the schools because if a student comes back and says, "Hey, you said that I was going to make this, and I didn't, you know, making you know less than that," it's if you have a reference, you know, or a citation, you know, that's helpful. You know, the other thing, and I'll say this just because we've seen a lot of dental assisting schools, and a lot of them are, you know, similar to your practice, you know, are owned by dentists with the same or similar motivation. And I think that the thing that is hard to appreciate beforehand is what it takes to consistently train a group of dental assisting students as opposed to the one that you happen to be working with, let's say one-on-one, who is more like a mentoring relationship now. And I don't know, you know, I think it might be a good activity to, you know, to maybe at some point, you know, connect with some of the other dental schools, dental assisting schools, maybe pick one, you know, in North Scottsdale or somewhere, you know, geographically, you know, that you're not directly competing with. And some conversations around, you know, what are, you know, sort of best practices, or how can we, how can we, learn from each other? Because I'm sure as an experienced dentist, and I saw the portion of your CV, you practiced for a long time, so you know what you expect. But the teaching part is something that, it's a little bit different. And so I'll put that out there as, a bit of unsolicited advice.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and with that, back to you, Dr. Patan. And I say that also because it looks like you're a Philly guy. I saw that.
Yes.
And I was just in Philadelphia at a conference a few weeks ago. So it's like W.C. Fields says, I'd rather be in Philadelphia, but that was on his tombstone. Okay, Dr. Patan, back to you.
Thank you, Dr. Mittman. Mr. Blanchard, I see you have your hand up. Okay.
Sorry about that. Thank you, Dr. Brute. If Dr. Brute and Mr. Rana would just email your notes to me, not now, but at the end of the meeting or tomorrow or next week, and then Dr. Montessori will go through the catalog and the enrollment agreement with those notes, and we will mark them up in red, and then we'll send you the catalog back. It'll be all marked up, and the enrollment agreement back, and then you can contact the person that you use to kind of go through those changes. It'll kind of make it faster.
Okay.
Now guessing what you need.
That was my next question. Yes. Where do I go from here?
Yeah, we will. Noelle and I will definitely get back to you probably middle of next week, and we'll send you back those documents, and there will be a bunch of notes on them.
Okay.
I'm old school, so they'll be in red ink and then scanned. So sorry about that.
Okay.
If I could just briefly jump in, I don't want to mislead you, Dr. Monteroso, or my fellow board members in regards to this. So what it sounds like really needs to happen is you need to review your documentation that the company provided, and you need to make sure that it says what you want it to say in that way. I would hate for you to take any notes that we might provide you as these are the only areas you need to address. It is very clear at this point there's a pretty big disconnect between what was submitted and what you intend to do running the school. That is your obligation. It is not our obligation to try and guide you on how you are going to operate your business. So hopefully that lands well, but I didn't want to mislead you with you'll get back one through A through Z type of list that you need to correct versus you own this school. You own the responsibility, as Mr. LaMountain had said, to read the statutes and the rules to operate that school. So you are knowledgeable. It is our job to evaluate that, award you the license, and then hold you accountable to that. And so I just wanted to clarify those points.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
So thank you, Dr. Monteroso, members of the board and the state. I'd like to present a motion at this time for this file, Academy of Dental Assisting. The motion would be to delay till a later date until staff has an opportunity to review the suggestions from the board with Dr. Monteroso.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
But we need a motion. And
I will second that motion, assuming the delay is the appropriate terminology for that, Mr. LaMountain.
Mr. LaMountain, can you help us with that terminology?
Yes, that would be fine. To delay until staff has had the chance to review and work with Dr. Monteroso on the documentation that the board will provide. So that's appropriate.
Thank you. So would you call the vote?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. The vote of 7 ayes. That motion passes and will be delayed until a further meeting, future meeting.
Okay, thank you. Next up.
Thank you.
Thank you, doctor. Next up, Elite Medical Academy. And our board lead is Ms. Kelly. Take it away.
Thank you, Dr. Mittman. Is Ms. Aldridge here today?
Yes, she is. This is Kay McKay. I'm also with her. She's coming right back right now.
Okay, great. Great. Well, I reviewed all the material submitted. I do have just a couple of questions. First, I want to say that your executive summary I thought was very well done. So I don't think you had another company do that. For Mr. LaMountain, there was in the program core study forms, I had the Arizona School of Medical Assistant business plan there. So at first I got confused. So I don't think it belongs there, but just so you know, it's in there.
Apologies, that would be a mistake that I made. So I apologize.
It's no problem. You use a lot of things. So I know that's coming up, but I'm glad it wasn't mine. So I thought your executive summary was well done, ladies. I did have a couple of questions for you, though. One, I know you've kind of addressed the growing market in Lake Havasu. I was wondering about the competition. So specifically, you're doing – well, first off, why don't you just give a brief overview of what you want to do there?
What I want to do?
Yeah, just your plan real quick for the folks on the call.
Okay, so I want to open a school that will allow people to come to me for training for the PCA program, which is caregiving. My community is full of elderly people. It's big in retirement, and the baby boomers are going to be hitting. So it's a need. I own a mobile laboratory company, and I service all the care facilities here in town. So, and I also teach CPR. So I teach the local care facilities, I teach to the urgent care, I've worked with the local hospital, doctor's offices. So I know the need is out there, and they constantly are coming to me of where to go for training or for resources. I've even, you know, so I am a resource already for my community. So, and I see the demand for this, not only just with the PCA program for caregiving, but I mean, there's multiple facilities in this town, and people are constantly opening up mom and pop homes. So the need for elderly care is only going to grow. Same thing with phlebotomy. We see a rise in the need for laboratories. You know, even with the pandemic hitting, I opened up my business right before the pandemic, and then I seen the need in my community for COVID testing. So I added that resource on because it was very limited in my community. So I've serviced thousands of people. And I know that people are having complications due to COVID, and that's long term. So there's only going to be a need for these two things in not only my community, but everywhere.
Okay. Well, listen, thank you for your service to the community. So I guess the one question I have is on the PC. So the phlebotomy program, there are a couple of competitors there, but it seems like the overall growth in the market could support it. On the PCA, my question, and forgive me, I'm not a medical person, but I do know there are you can get a PCA by going through an employer. So I was just wondering, like, do you think there's a market beyond, apparently you're offering it. So why wouldn't someone just go to work for an employer and get it done through there rather than paying for it?
Because I wanted to set a standard in even my name. It's the Elite Medical. It means they're going to get the best of the best in their field. I work again with the care facilities. One of what would be my competitor, she currently owns multiple facilities, not only in my community, but in Kingman, and she's going to be doing my clinicals. So I work very well with my community people. So we're not competing, we're working together and collaborating. So she will be doing my clinicals for my school, even though she can actually is approved by the state to license people for PCA. They only have to go to Phoenix for testing, but she's going to be doing my clinicals because we work as a team for making a strong community. So I'm not even concerned about my competitors, to be honest. We're a strong community here in Havasu.
Yeah, I can see your community support. I was actually going to, it's pretty notable that you're getting a year of free rent. So I thought that was pretty amazing. And you also had someone donate money to get you started. So clearly there's some support there. The only other question I really had was you mentioned flexible scheduling. And it's probably my bad, but I couldn't find where the schedule was laid out. I know you talked about how the classes would be delivered, but it wasn't. How is your schedule different than anybody else's? I was curious.
We offer just even alone for the phlebotomy. We offer it on the weekends, which means that people can be out there working and still be able to go to school. You know, I try to really build around what my community needs are. So I feel that we can meet the, you know, make sure that people are out there working and being able to take care of their families, but getting an education. So I try to set up the classes, and then the course for the PCA is only 2 weeks long. So it's a short time if they are committed into doing that career that they should be able to obtain a certificate.
Yeah, listen, those weekend phlebotomy classes are great. So we run weekend classes ourselves. I think that's fantastic. So I did have a question, a procedure question, and maybe Mr. LaMountain, this is for you. In the review of the catalog, someone else had noted on page 12 to remove the student initial line. And so is that something, is that a feedback that we give to these? Will they get that through another vehicle, or do we tell them on this call that they need to remove that?
We can tell them on the call, and let me just refer out to just clear, Ms. Vetter. Ms. Vetter, can you clarify?
Yes, thank you. I believe that might have been, I'm trying to pull up what was in the folder. My guess is that that was just a notation in the catalog that I had made of kind of how I will notify them of any changes. So that's what my guess is it's just a notification to the institution to remove that initial line from that.
Okay, page. I just didn't, thank you. I didn't know how they were notified. So that was on page 12 of the catalog to remove the student initial line there.
Okay, I'll go through and double check too.
All right, perfect. Okay, well, that's really all the questions I have. I'm gonna open it up for my colleagues to, is there anyone else who has questions or comments? For the team up here.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Kelly. I have a question on your projections. The projections for the two programs are pretty consistent, you know, in the first 3 years, 85,000 for personal care aid and phlebotomy, a little over 115,000. So for personal care aid, 85,000. So that would be roughly 150.
About 100 students, yeah, on each line. Yeah.
A year?
Yes. Right, ladies, I did the math. It was about 100 students in the PCA and the phlebotomy a year.
Okay. And is, you know, do you think that that's a conservative, a middle of the road, or an aggressive projection given what you're seeing in Lake Havasu?
No, like I said, our community is a retirement community. So the needs of this, I mean, even just for phlebotomists, I work a few days a week at an in-home care agency where they also offer hospice. And I can be office assistant as a phlebotomist. I can help prepare you know, documents for doctors and different stuff. So there's a diverse way that a phlebotomist can assist in our medical world here in Lake Havasu. And PCA, it's always ongoing, and there's a lot of turnover. So I'm hoping with my school, we'll minimize that problem. And, you know, again, there's multiple facilities in this community, and people are always constantly trying to open them up. So there's going to be a growing need, especially when the baby boomers are now going to be needing care.
And to specifically answer your question, I would consider it a medium estimate. What I factored in when we talked about it, what I factored in was the leveraging that she can do with the connections that she has. She works with over 100 providers. And along with, I think there's 50 facilities that she works with. So I tried to figure how she could leverage those in terms of her marketing, you know, strategies. She also goes to resource meetings that are put on quarterly, where shared resources, there's information regarding resources shared with other agencies. So I tried to, you know, I think it's a medium effort considering the contacts that she has, you know, in terms of the opportunities also to assist with job placement efforts. And we describe our job placement as supportive services, you know, with that are resume preparation, interview preparation, and giving job leads, by the way.
Okay. Well, thanks. And you're Ms. McKay, right?
Yes, I am.
And you're the angel. Mary Kelly referred to a little
bit. My angel.
But thanks for helping make this happen. I was at a legislative hearing last week or the week before, and there was a lot of concern around the care that seniors receive currently. And so it sounds like you know, the service that you're providing, you know, could really be important in, you know, in just improving what, you know, at least in some parts of the state is not a good experience for a lot of people.
Yeah, thank you for that comment. And I will say that one of the things that has been impressive for me is that when I hear Maggie talk in terms of training, in her language, I hear her talk about quality of life of the patients. And I've not heard that a lot in regards to senior care. It's more in regards to meeting the duties and responsibilities. So just as an anecdotal note, I thought I wanted to add that.
Yeah, and I think being independent of the facilities themselves, I think is, I'm not a marketing person, but I think, you know, emphasizing that is something that, I mean, that would appeal to me.
Thank you.
Just to add, in both of these departments, I have worked personally and I'm a very hands-on person. And it's very important to me that what leaves my building with certificates is providing the ultimate of care. It's very important to me in everything that I do that people are receiving good care. So you guys can expect that from my students.
Okay, well, we do.
Okay.
All right, thanks. Back to you, Ms. Kelly.
Hey, thanks, Dr. Vintman. So that was actually my initial, I was a little wary at first of the population growth, but when I looked at the area and what's happening there with the growth in the actual elderly population, it seemed to make sense. So I did also want to point out, I like your cost structure. Clearly, you ladies aren't out there to get rich, right? So I think your cost structure was very reasonable. So overall, I was impressed, but you know, I might have missed a couple things, so I'm going to open it up again for my colleagues if there's anything else that we need to ask the folks on the call. Okay. All right. And you have put down a $15,000 surety bond. Are you willing to keep that surety bond in place?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, great. Well, I vote to approve the conditional non-accredited degree program license application with the stipulation that $15,000 surety bond is maintained.
Would you like to make a motion also?
I'm sorry. I thought I did that. I motion. Thank you, Dr. Vintman. I motion that the application is approved as long as the surety bond is maintained.
And I'll second that.
Thank you.
Great. We have a motion and a second. Dr. Vintman?
Aye.
Dr. Vintman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Kelly votes aye. And Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. That's 7 ayes, no nays. That motion passes.
All right.
Good luck.
Thank you for your
Thank you so much.
I'll work hard for you folks.
Thank you. Okay, next up, the International Dublin College. And who's the lead here? Ooh, it's me. So let's see, who do we have from the campus? We got a bunch of people who would like to make an opening statement. Or maybe, why don't you introduce yourselves? And if you wouldn't mind, just out of curiosity, because it is an international college, if you could tell us where you're connecting from, where you're calling from, and what time is it, wherever you are.
Let me begin first, if it's possible for you. Mehmet Gökçe.
Okay. And where are you?
I'm in Turkey right now.
And okay. What time is it?
It's 9 p.m. here.
Okay, not bad.
Yeah, great. Great
call. Okay, and what is your role?
Actually, I'm an English instructor in Kütahya, and I'm assisting International Dublin College about the quality assurance and other documents to be prepared.
Okay, thank you. Who else do we have?
Okay. Mr. Çanakçı.
Yeah, hi again. Good day, esteemed members of the board. I'm here on behalf of the International Dublin College and dedicated venture aimed and reaching the educational landscape for international students residing in Arizona. We embark on the journey of providing quality online education for students by focusing on accessibility and flexibility. So our mission is modest yet meaningful, to provide quality, accessible, employment. We seek to establish our nurturing, inclusive environment that respects the diverse backgrounds of our students and staff. As we apply for license, we do so with a commitment to community education and mutual growth in Arizona. So our goal is to provide a qualified contribution to education, employment, and investment in Arizona. So it's we want to further his studies is in Arizona with the educational infrastructure and academic team which are on IDC strong just aspects, as we have included in our business plan and catalog. So therefore, financial sustainability and employment are one of the most important issues for youth. If we get your approval, we want to provide this starting from March to 24. So thanks.
Okay. Anything else? Anyone else have anything to add? Thank you, Dr. Konakci.
Yes.
Okay. So, okay. Could you explain to me, there is already the International Dublin University, correct? And that is in Dublin, Ireland. Am I correct?
Yeah. Mr. Chenak, please let me answer this question for Paul Whitman. Okay. Yes, of course, there is a university called International Dublin University, and this is our sister school, but it's a different entity located in Georgia, not the state one, the country one. And of course, the International Dublin College will be located in the Arizona state.
Okay. So, are the two institutions, how are they related?
Yeah, they are related about the PGA Academy located in Turkey. So this is the parent company, and the International Dublin College and the university are the sister schools.
Okay. And so, in other words, the PGA Academy,
yeah,
owns both schools.
Actually, not. PGA has the role to fund the International Dublin College to run smoothly in the Arizona state. That's the reason why PGA Academy give some funds to this school.
And so in the documents that we have here, the document, the owner's document, because this is a for-profit school, so it's owned by either
Kevin.
Person. Kevin. So Kevin owns the school.
Yeah.
And so what is his relationship with PGA Academy?
Actually, he has no role in the PGA Academy, just Mr. Harun and Mr. Murat will fund this school, and a year or 2 years later, they will buy this school again.
I'm sorry, in a year or two, they'll do what?
In a year or two, Mr. Harun and Mr. Murat Gezer, the boss of the PGA Academy, will buy this school from Mr. Kevin.
Okay.
So Mr. Kevin is the boss right now, and as your per request that comes to us through the law firm that we get service, I think Jessica explained it in detail to you beforehand.
Okay. So what we have financial statements that reference the PGA Academy.
Mm-hmm. Parent company.
The parent company.
Yeah.
But in a sense, but what you're also telling me is that the parent company doesn't own
mm-hmm.
the International Dublin College, because Mr. Kaya,
yeah,
is the owner of it.
Mr. Kaya and Gezer are the owner of the PGA Academy, not the International Dublin College. International Dublin College owner is Kevin Kaya.
Right. He's the sole owner of the International Dublin College, correct?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, Kevin Kaya is the owner of the International Dublin College, and the Dublin College is the sister school of International Dublin University, and the PGA is the parent company.
Is the parent company of the International Dublin University.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, correct.
But is it the parent company of the International Dublin College?
Mm-hmm.
You're saying it is or it isn't?
Sorry, couldn't get it.
I guess I'm a little bit I'm trying to be
yeah. You're right.
It's
a little bit confusing for you to get the whole organization chart, because it's a little bit intriguing for you, but it's I think also all clear, because you know International Dublin University is located in Georgia, PGA Academy is in Turkey, and International Dublin College is in Arizona. So that can be very confusing.
Yeah.
Would you like to add something to this?
That makes me feel better. The fact that it could be confusing, because I'm confused. I'm looking at the Mr. LeMount, I'm looking at the board report, the spreadsheet that has all of the documents on it. Do we have an organizational chart? Is that one of them? I did not see.
There should be one in there. Let me look. Dr. Mittman and members of the board, certainly we do have a number of questions, and I'm glad they're here to provide that potential clarity on the structure. We've been challenged with figuring out exactly all the pieces of this institution and how it fits together. So, but to your point, I will go in and
you know what? I just found the org chart. So I've got that here. So I've got, so if I'm looking at it, and so it is in the, well, let's see.
Dr. Mittman?
Yeah.
Sorry, Dr. Mittman. I wonder if you're really wondering about the organizational structure and ownership structure. Is that?
Yeah.
Because I did not see that document. I did see the org chart kind of document, but I wasn't able to find in there kind of the breakdown of the ownership structure. And Mr. LeMountain, I don't know if you would be able to direct us in the materials to if there is a place where that is called out.
Dr. Mittman, Mr. Romano, and the board, I do not believe that we received a corporate organizational structure piece, an org chart for that. We do have it for the institution, for the school of which is provided, but that would be something that I believe that we requested it from. They were working with a local or a firm that we have a lot of faith in Arizona, and I believe we requested it from there, but I'm not confident that we received that.
This document was prepared as your per request, and this was came from the law firm that we get service.
Okay, so I don't have it of a corporate organization structure. I only have what you have in your board folder. Let me reach out. Ms. Rome, do you recall seeing that?
Sorry, I'm just looking through the documents right now. And I think maybe what you're looking for is the articles of organization which show the ownership, the statutory agent name, and the principals. Is that what you're looking for? If so, I don't know if that was dropped in the folder, but I am dropping it right now. So you should all be able to see it. And it's just called Articles of Organization. But that's really all we have received.
Okay. So you're saying if we refresh our
right
the page, it should show up.
Okay. And the issue here, Dr. Mittman, members of the board, is that the Articles of Organization show International Dublin University. And so there is an Articles of Amendment in there that has changed that name on the Articles of Organization to University of Dublin College. So it would go hand in hand, I believe.
Okay. And could you, I'm looking at the spreadsheet that has all of the documents. And can you tell us, just point out which line is it in?
I am going to try and put it in the spreadsheet now. I'm not sure if you have access to that. So just give me one moment and I will add it to that spreadsheet if I can find it.
Okay. So, go ahead, Mr. Lamont.
Ms. Rome, is it the one that you just dropped, the Articles of Organization?
Yeah, I was going to copy the
here, let me, link. I could bring it up on the screen if.
Yeah, please do.
Can you see the articles?
Yeah, they're just coming up. Here we go. Okay.
And I did just put them in the spreadsheet, too. I put the link in the spreadsheet at the very bottom, number 26.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
And obviously what we have here, Dr. Mittman and members of the board, is would be what was filed at the Corporation Commission.
Right.
But it has not been a structure format that would be clarified the additional layers above it, which is, I believe, in somewhat of what you're asking for.
Yeah.
Yeah, typically we would see a percent of ownership associated with it versus just the principles, and not understanding quite the breakdown of that.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, I'm really at a loss as to how we can move forward without understanding, you know, who owns the school, who are investors in the school, the relationship between the PGA Academy and International Dublin College, relationship between International Dublin College and the university, if there is, you know, some kind of, I mean, they could be sister schools, but do they share any staffing or resources or instructors. I don't want to take too much time here, but I want to, I guess the question, you know, Mr. Lamont, is like, what will it take for us to get the materials in a satisfactory shape for us to be able to kind of wrap our heads around this and say, yes, you've got a school here. You're offering the one degree program, And you know, it's clear to us, you know, that we can license this school. So I'm thinking, you know, certainly clarification around the financial structure, ownership structure. And there's plenty of little items, you know, things in the course catalog that didn't seem to add up to me as well. I don't want to take everyone's time here, you know, to go through all of them, but this application is not ready for us to, certainly for me to vote on.
Dr. Mittman, members of the board, I have to be careful how I say it, but the institution in their initial submission had many, 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 many deficiencies, and we were having a very difficult time. We have met with the group, most of the part, the individuals that you see here, a couple of times. It was not until they hired a specific individual, a firm that did, that again, I state that we've had the opportunity to work with on other institutions, and that particular firm is very good. And they got the application to the point where what you see before you today, which is still deficient. However, that particular firm, I do not know if they are still engaged. I do not believe they are. As early or as late as last week, received information that they may not be engaged in this going further, which is, you know, again, what you see. So we were making progress, and then that progress.
Mr. LeMountain, let me chime in here. We, during the summertime, we met, remember that?
Correct.
Yeah, we had a meeting, and you said we cannot accept the name of the university here, and you should change it, and wanted us an amendment, and we made it International Dublin College. So that's the first thing, and all the application forms were prepared by the law firm. That's the reason you had the old one. That's not our mistake, actually. And what's more, all the changes requested from you and the esteemed board members were prepared and were submitted to the Jessica and the law firm from the, you know, Jessica. And she said she sent to you, and you accepted the catalog, and you also accepted the organizational chart. She said also you accepted the other related documents, and we felt we were ready to get the license here. But some deficiencies are not related to our firm, our school, because you know, this is an, as you know from the name of the school, it's an international Dublin College. It's an international school. PGA is a global firm and has lots of entities. And rest assured, International Dublin College is a different entity. And a year or two will easily run its business in the Arizona State, and will give opportunity to the local people to be employed here, and also give a qualified education to the students residing in the Arizona State. That we aim to open this school in Arizona, and we are just need to get the license to keep our business running and go global through you.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. Why don't we do this? I'm going to move that we postpone a decision on International Dublin College, and I would like to see an financial organizational chart that has the, like in the financial documents of the owner, it, you know, it currently has PGA, but if the owner is actually, is Mr. Kaya, then that's whose financial statements we need to see, and we need to see a complete set of statements, so a balance sheet, income statement, cash flow. And then there's also documentation, Mr. Lamont, you can provide or request that, that has, you know, since it's an individual, that, you know, that we would have, I can't remember the form, but there is a form that has the resources for the individual. And when you get that to our staff, then if it's complete, we can review those materials at next month's finance meeting.
Actually, we also sent the financial paper.
Just
to the board.
Point of clarification, that Dr. Mittman, you're making a motion. Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm making a motion to delay, and that if the materials are submitted in time and are complete, you know, we could take it up at the upcoming at the March Finance Committee meeting.
Dr. Mittman, just for clarity's sake, it would have to come back to the board. So it would have to be in April for that to happen. So it would be the earliest we could move on this application would be in April.
Okay. I will amend that to April.
Mr. Lamonton, also
let's do roll call.
Can we have discussion?
Sure. Discussion.
Yeah. And just for the school entity, because we've entered into a motion and it's been seconded, you don't have the ability to engage with this at this time. We're discussing it as a board. So just respectfully, we understand you've put a lot of effort into this. Just wanted to clarify that point to allow us to, as a board, discuss this now in this piece. And just if you would provide us a moment. So Dr. Mittman, I did also wanted to note, I think what we have here as well is there was allegedly a name change amendment put forward. The article of amendment that's in our folder right now is related to a member change of Mr. Marinov no longer being a member. Mr. I think that would then leave Mr. Kaya as the sole member, but that was not related to the change from International Dublin University to International Dublin College. So I only bring that up because we would probably want that document too, just to verify if we don't already have it. But at least in the folder here of what I'm seeing, that's a challenge. And then, you know, obviously, we recognize the fact that our board staff will bring in document or receive documents in and review those documents. But we also want to say, The staff does not accept those documents. What they do is they review those documents to try and make sure they are materially prepared appropriately to bring it forward to the board, so that we can also review and evaluate if additional refinements are necessary. So I just primarily wanted to bring forward the article of amendment. If there is a name change, I did not see that in the folder. I do see the article of amendment for the member change of removing Mr. Marinov.
Thank you very much, Mr. Romano, and we'll give the board, the staff, you know, the full discretion to request whatever documentation is necessary for this to be a complete application. Thanks for that clarification. Is there any other discussion among board members? Hearing none, Mr. LaMountain, you want to call the roll?
Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. With a vote of 7 ayes, no nays, that motion will pass. And Dr. Mittman and members of the board, and for the institution, we will be reaching out to you shortly. Please let us know if you are going to be represented by counsel. The individuals that helped you through part of this process, we would need to know. We will go directly back to you, but please let us know if there's someone else we need to be engaged with. Thank you.
Dr. Mittman, can I just...
Mr. LaMountain, what's the result? We passed? We got the license or not?
No. We have deferred the action, and the motion was to defer this to a later date. We will communicate to you the deficiencies, the continued deficiencies, and ask for some clarity on a number of issues regarding financial, with ownership piece, organization chart, and some other deficiencies. So you'll receive that notification to you shortly, within the next couple of days.
Will you send us a list of deficiencies?
We will, correct.
Directly or through the law firm?
You have to tell me if you're still engaged with the law firm. So I will send it to you, and then you can make those choices.
Thank you. Okay. Mr. Romano, thank you. Mr. Romano, you had a question?
Briefly. So the school is not discouraged. First off, I want to recognize we can see in your file you've provided a large amount of information, right? So certainly, as Mr. LaMountain has suggested, there's been some back and forth on that. We're not trying to frustrate you or delay you in this process. We're just trying to make sure that all of us are on the same page as we move forward. So please just continue to work with the staff. Understand that, you know, what you've provided a lot of really good information for us. We just need to tighten up a couple other areas as we move forward. So I just wanted to share that with you and the other schools that our role here is to help us all move forward successfully, getting the information that's necessary. And I realize we're dealing over multiple different time zones and countries right now, but wanted to give you that encouragement of continuing to move forward in the process. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for your cooperation and your good thoughts. Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, esteemed also board members.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Ocean Point Dental Assisting Academy of Gilbert. Mr. Ball, you are the lead.
Okay. Is there anybody from Ocean Point available?
Yep, Dr. Robert Barber and Dr. Christopher Erskine.
Okay, good morning, doctors.
Good morning.
You want to bring the board up to date on what's happening there at the school?
Sure. We'll start off with our mission statement. The market demand for competent dental assistants is at an all-time high. The high cost, time requirements, and inconvenience adult students face at competing schools led us to our purpose and our mission, which is to provide affordable training for a worthy career opportunity, leading to a fast program completion so graduates can start earning right away with little to no debt. And we're excited to provide that for the Gilbert area.
Okay, looks like staff has gone through your application and found it to be in compliance. I really just have one question, I think. And that is on your facility information form, you talk about there's being a 30-year lease at $84,000 a year. Is that between the dental practice and the landlord, or is that between the school and the dental practice, or how's that?
So the dental practice and the building are owned by a management company that we're both members of. So it's kind of a,
It's a past serenity to rent to us, to ourselves. So that's what that is. Just letting you know that us as owners, we're the members in the Barber Property Management that owns the building. And of course, we have a lease for tax purposes. So that's what that is between our dental practice and our property management company.
Do you plan on charging the school rents?
We do. That's our rent that we pay now to the management company. And so what we're going to do with the school is we'll divide out the time that the building's being used compared to the hours that we work now. And we'll divide that out by hourly. And that's how we're going to charge the rent.
Gotcha. Yeah. Did you put the rent in your projection or not?
I don't believe we did. We were just coming up with that. It's funny, as you're the owner of the building and the owner of the business, it's something you know you're going to do, but that we had just come up with an idea of doing that. We have another practice in a different area that we're seeking at some point to do the same thing, not here in Arizona. We just came up with that idea. We're going to do the same thing with that facility also.
So you can manipulate the rent, so to speak, to make sure the school makes money.
Sure.
That's the main thing.
Be successful.
Is the tuition comparable to other dental assisting schools?
It is. We have one that's about 10 miles north of us. That charges $500 more than we're charging and is very successful. In fact, the reason why we came up with, part of the reason we came up with this, there's a lot of reasons, but we actually provide, we're an office that provides for their interns that come to our office and intern for the hours that they need. We have a whole program when they come in to intern at our office, steps that they have to follow so that we make sure when they leave our office, they're ready to be employed, because that's their first opportunity of hands-on experiences when they come here. We see a lot. We probably see 12 to 15 a month, and we've done that on a consistent basis for about 5 years. That's what we've been doing. That's one of the reasons why we've been doing that, and why we decided to actually be the people that are training them, because there's some things that we like and some things we don't when they come in. And so we've been able to see that and develop what we want to do in order to provide better assistance out there. And we have 5 assistants right now that came from that school that we interned and brought in that are working for us. But yes, in answer to your question, yes, I know I told you how the watch was made, but yes, our tuition is a little bit less than what they're charging, but it's comparable.
Yeah. And what you pay for dental assistance is comparable to other dental practices and.
Correct.
And, you don't make over grandiose promises to your students about how much they can make.
Just the opposite. Yeah. Because we've had students come and they're expecting this high amount, and we're like, I don't know why they're even telling you that, because that's not accurate.
It's not the market demand for someone who is just starting. And so it's the other thing that we see is we've had some assistants come from a school that they spend 9 months at and spend $20,000, and they don't know much more than these girls coming from this other school that's only 10 weeks long. So it's very interesting the time that it takes for each of those to be done and the amount of information that they don't know, even in that long period of time.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Let me open it up to the rest of the board members. Do they have any questions? Everything's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, if I could jump in real quick, I just wanted to try and get some clarity. In regards to the curriculum itself, is this a buy-off-the-shelf type of situation, or is this a homegrown type of curriculum?
We work with a company called Ocean Point, who's developed the curriculum that we purchased from them.
Okay.
There's an online platform that they continue to support. There's 104 schools now around the country that they support with that curriculum.
Okay. Yeah, for some reason, and I apologize, we've had a lot of dental schools over the years, dental assisting schools, and I seem to recall this platform being maybe offered at another school within the Valley or at some point wanting to be offered. So I just wasn't quite sure. Mr. LaMountain?
Mr. Romano, members of the board, yes, we have a number of Ocean Points. As a matter of fact, I believe last month we had an additional location of an Ocean Point. So it is a structured program that a dental office can utilize the curriculum and their platforms. So that's what this is. A little bit different from the first one that we had today. So we've had success with Ocean Points in the past.
Okay. Thank you for that. Like I said, I don't work in that space, but it seemed like a familiar term that keeps coming up. So I appreciate that. That was looking at the other materials. I didn't have anything that really jumped out. I didn't see any significant marketing materials, but I really appreciate the fact that you acknowledged not to try and overstate. Certainly your business plan did reference, Bureau of Labor Statistics and that type of stuff, which I really appreciated as well. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, Mr. Ball, can I ask a question? In your in one of your documents, the summary, it says one of the objectives is to open a dental assistant school in Boise, Idaho. Is that something that is it like your next?
So we have several areas where we have friends that we've gone to dental school with, where they own offices, and there's several potential areas that we could cite to go to help. And they're basically areas where they've talked to us and said, we struggle to find good dental assistants. And so there's several areas that we have plans to help get things running and help doing the same thing we're doing. Yes.
Okay. Thanks.
Any other questions? Gentlemen, would you be agreeable to posting or having a $15,000 surety bond if we approve you?
We do. We actually have a $20,000 surety bond. Yeah.
A $40,000 one?
20.
$20,000.
Yeah, we have a $20,000 surety bond, and we will hold that for the time that we're.
Okay. All right. Okay, hearing no other questions, I will make a motion to approve the conditional non-accredited degree program license application with the stipulation that the $20,000 surety bond be maintained.
Second.
Mr. Ball, can I?
Oh, go ahead.
Maybe request. I realize the school has gone above and beyond in the surety bond, but I also want to be respectful that we don't treat them differently than how we've treated other schools. I think consistently we've asked for $15,000. So I would ask for consideration of an amended motion to just reflect what we consistently do.
Okay. I'll amend that motion to read 15,000 rather than 20.
Or it could be a bond in the amount of at least 15,000 if they don't want to go out and get a different bond.
We'll probably hold.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I was going to say, because we've already, it's paid for the year, so we'll keep it for now, and then we'll amend that when we do it again.
Okay, so let's make the motion read that they maintain a bond of at least $15,000.
I would second that.
Mr. Ball, Keith Blanchard, sorry to interrupt. Normally the bond is based on the institution's projection of their first year of tuition is where that number comes from. So yeah. it's not odd that it would be 20 if in fact their projections calculate that.
Okay, so
so I'll just jump in.
Do I need to amend further?
can we try and level set here? I think what the board is, or what the staff has looked at before, is giving guidance on a $15,000 surety bond. The school seems like they went above and beyond with the $20,000, which is great. But I think, again, I go back to with this being an initial application, I'm not sure why we would be inconsistent in that piece, but maybe I'm missing something, so I apologize if I am.
Mr. Monday.
And Mr. Romano, members of the board, I think if we take what Assistant Attorney General Galvin stated, that's the appropriate language. That would allow the institution to not have to make a current a quick change in the bond. And that moving forward, we can review that at a later date. But I think that's the appropriate language to take here.
Thank you.
Which is what I think I put in the motion.
Correct.
Okay. So we have a second.
We had a motion. Did someone second the motion?
Yes, Mike Romano seconds the motion.
Okay, let's have roll call.
Dr. Mittman.
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano.
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck.
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace.
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball. Mr. Ball.
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly.
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Boutte.
Aye.
Dr. Boutte votes aye. By the vote of 7 ayes, no nays, that motion passes.
Great. Congratulations. Thank you. And best wishes.
Thank you.
Okay. Next up, Arizona School of Medical Assistant. And Dr. Leck, you are the lead on this.
Thank you, Dr. Mittman. Is there someone from Arizona School of Medical Assistant that would like to make an opening statement?
Board members, for allowing me to make the opening. Dr. Kishle Anand, I'm a physician in the community for the last 12 years and also a healthcare executive servicing multiple healthcare organizations in the Arizona community and built several healthcare delivery facilities in the community. And the mission with Arizona School of Medical Assistant is to build a quality, state-of-the-art contemporary education platform to bring qualified medical assistant for the much-needed healthcare of the community. And appreciate the time from the board members. We from there on, talking to National Healthcare Association and several groups to basically develop a quality program, which should be combination of working with local provider groups for clinical training, as well as a contemporary education platform to basically create qualified students.
Great. Thank you very much for that. I have a list of questions, and I've tried to group them as much as I can because they tend to go from, you know, one document to another. But looking at your documents, I think there's questions about how your organization is kind of set up between different owners and some of the filing documents.
Sure. So Arizona School of Medical Assistant is a Arizona Incorporated LLC, which is owned by a Parampara Holding LLC, which is owned by me and my wife. So two of us are the owners in Parampara Holding LLC, which owns Arizona School of Medical Assistant 100%.
Okay. So there's one. I noticed on one of the documents, so it's got some principles that is a different group, YOJNA Management Services Corporation is a principal in addition?
Yeah, so YOJNA is, again, our Management Services Organization, which is again our family office, basically. So it's all basically me and my wife who are owners across the entity.
Okay. Okay. All right. Thank you for that. Does anyone else, other board members, I'd like to go section by section. Have any questions regarding the company organization?
Nope.
All right. Moving on, I think the next thing I'd like to do is kind of talk about the business plan. I don't know how else to say this, but it's kind of weird. When you read through it, I have concerns about some of the statements that are made as far as like adjectives that are used, and I can talk about that in a minute. But it also seems to be referencing things that aren't even related to what you're doing at all. Like, for example, in industry growth, it's talking about manufacturing jobs, legal services, computer system design, air transportation. It's not really a business plan specifically for you guys, it doesn't look like.
And I apologize for that. This was, again, GMAX was our consulting company. I should have paid more attention to this. So that's on me. But again, the intent, like on the programmatic design, I've been pretty involved in terms of developing that and working with the right platform for both training as well as testing for the students, as well as talking locally to the healthcare organizations. In terms of like support, both, you know, talking to them to support the medical students as part of the, you know, like, because there's a huge need for medical assistance. I've ran an organization with 450 employees in Arizona, and we had one of the biggest shortage apart from the providers we faced was medical assistance, qualified ones. And I'm still like, still own healthcare businesses where one of the biggest needs is qualified, medical assistant. So that's a big need. And I've been working on this for the last 1 year, but I did use GMAX as a consulting. Looks like there, you know, in terms of the business plans, if I get a feedback, I will be able to work through that personally. I'll make sure that we get you the right piece. And I apologize on that. Like somehow I missed overseeing the business plan. Like I was pretty involved across the process going back and forth with them directly, but looks like, you know, that piece somehow got submitted and I did not get a chance to review, and I should be able to fix that myself.
Okay, so let's cover some of the things in here then, just to make sure that when you, on this next round, when you're really looking at it, that you know what it is that has caught my attention. There's comments in here like state-of-the-art medical technology in a modern and convenient location, but these are medical assistants. So I was unclear as far as what medical technology a medical assistant would necessarily be using, as well as like how you define state of the art, right? So making sure that you're not saying like over promising something that there's no way to deliver, especially based on what the job is. I have, you know, in here it's talking about a group of extremely experienced staff, and everywhere I look, I think it's you and one other person. Is that correct?
So we have a team of myself, you know, who will be actively involved in the school. I have our instructor is Timothy Kozat, who's a medical assistant by background and also has an MBA in it. And basically we have two other instructors who are medical assistants who are part of the team. So four of us who are currently as part of the team. I do have a recent consultant, you know, who's also going to help on the answer in terms of putting, once approved, the program design, the whole workflow together. But going back to the first point in terms of it'd be more to do with learning sciences. Sciences have changed a lot. There's a contemporary way to do, basically tailor the program and learning and individualize it to the MA. Everybody comes with a little different skill set. Some people have good soft skills. Some need help with that. So the statement should have been more to do with learning sciences instead of medical technology. So apologies on that. But models to basically tailor customized learning to our MA students.
Yeah, I guess I would, my best recommendation is to steer away from state of the art, because if you're using an LMS or you're using face-to-face, there's nothing is state of the art about that, right? 30 years after online started kind of thing. So it would really like,
state of the art, something that's coming out right now for new technology, maybe in your doctor life versus maybe a medical assisting thing. So just caution you, because that'll get you, that can get you into big, big trouble. And I think some of these things, it makes it sound bigger than it is. And I think that's what I'm concerned about. Someone's going to come in and say, I thought I was getting a big school, right? And you're not. So if you have multiple instructors, you only have like the one listed in your org chart. You only have the one listed in the catalog. So I think that's where like there's maybe a disconnect between what you have and maybe what's in the materials.
Yeah, and we were not, like, we were asked, I think, to just come with the minimal criteria for application, as you know. But again, in terms of like my capability to scale operations, in terms of resources, I've already talked to the Surprise Economic Development team, as well as Peoria Economic, because that's where basically we'll be doing the footprint. But again, any business, I have to be cost effective. I cannot go and just start hiring people and putting them on salaries if, you know, I don't even have the approval. So in terms of the capability, financing and structure, very comfortable on executing on that and pulling the right resources. But again, I would, you know, like we were pending a lot of post approval. So I've already, as I said, started the footwork on that. But again, idea would be that, hey, you know, with come with the programmatic design and minimal requirement, which board would need for approval, and then basically pull those resources in.
Yeah, and I get all that, but it's the words that you guys are using is what I'm going after. So if you like, you know, if you're saying a group I don't think qualifies as two kind of thing. So just making sure that all of the stuff matches between documents and what you have is really what I'm focused on.
Very fair. Sure.
Okay, so I'm going to skip everything in the like population growth, industry growth. We already covered that. That it doesn't make any sense compared to what you're trying to do. Something else that I think is very concerning in here is it's saying most medical colleges only require a high school diploma. And I do not think you can refer to yourself as a medical college. I think that, right, medical school, because another line says an accredited medical school. And I don't think that that's what this looks like for, you know,
we'll
overall.
That, yeah.
Yes. Okay. And that leads me to another question that I have. So throughout the materials, it sounds like you have to take a test and get certified, and that the school has to be accredited, right? But you don't have that accreditation. So what would people do who graduate from your school until you have that accreditation?
So we are working with National Health Career Association, which provides the post testing for accreditation. And we already have basically a format set with them, and they would be our body for certification for the MA program.
So will the people who are graduating right now be covered or not be covered?
The first batch would be covered. We are not enrolling currently. You'd be enrolling post this, and they would be covered. They would be all students coming would be going through the curriculum from National Health Career Association, which is a national approved body platform, and using their post testing.
Okay, so you're going to have that prior to launching your program. You're going to have that all set up, the accreditation part set up.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. The other, again, I think it's whoever you're using is their words, but, you know, saying things like be able to find a steady full-time position in less time than other jobs. I mean, you're getting into like iffy territory with that comparison. And then one of the marketing photos, there's a lot of marketing photos with some groups of people. Who are those groups of people that are on your website? Because I think that's another, back to that original thing of it looks like there's lots of people, but according to this, there's not. So do you know where those marketing photo pictures are coming from?
Yes. So again, I have not seen those pictures, so I won't do justice, but mostly they must have used, you know, like, what are those called? The still, you know, taking pictures
stock
from.
Stock photos. Yeah, they don't even look like stock.
It's like stock photos. Stock probably pictures, and does not reflect. But again, in terms of the resources, what I can as you can imagine, for us, we have the right starting footprint, and once post approval, we'll make sure that we are meeting all regulatory requirements and using all the actual photos of people and personnel.
Yeah, because it looks like that those were downloaded from the internet, because they're not stock photos, because you can tell by the quality. But
So they did not even look like. So apologies for that. Most likely you're right.
Mr. Romano, I will defer to you. You seem to have a question.
Yeah, just a point of clarity. Absolutely, those images are stock because they were used in the other business plan as well, which is really concerning to me to hear that maybe you didn't have a chance to review these materials. I mean, again, it goes back to we're obviously spending a lot of time, our time invested in reviewing these materials that are being put forward, and to hear that you haven't, as the owner and operator, reviewed them and are comfortable and confident with the submissions is quite disappointing, actually. But that aside, there are a lot of very similar pieces there. I'm not even at this point. There's some other imagery in there, like the site plan that was used for another school as well. So I'm not sure if maybe that was intended to be submitted, if it's a duplicate. Or if there's a company out there that's just essentially going around to potential schools and saying, hey, we've got it all in a box for you. Just sign here, pay us this amount, we'll submit this information. That's very concerning to me as well. I don't know as a board what we might otherwise do around that piece of it. But I just wanted to kind of bring that forward of when I look at these materials, I see a lot of similarities, a lot of misstatements, and then the owner operator saying that they haven't reviewed these materials. I'm not sure why we would continue this discussion.
So, Mr. Romano, just to kind of not to counter you, to give you, we did provide our own site plan to GMAX. I don't know if that was put as part of the, again, I have to see what you're referring to, but we did provide them the site plan. We had, we have our own marketing person, and we have provided them with our videos from our executives, so that was provided. I don't know if that was shared with the board yet. And again, I'll take the full responsibilities and upon this, my understanding was they had put all the materials which we had provided them in front of you. If there's any cross linkage in terms of the material submission, I'll own that and we'll fix that.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Romano.
I would maybe just one more thing, Dr. Leck, if I could. Yes. In the marketing materials, it talked about students graduating debt-free, and I didn't know if that was the school's position, like if they're doing something to create that ability for a student to graduate debt-free. So I just, if you have the ability to speak to that, unless that was something that, again, came from the third party.
No, so we did provide that. We have the support from, when we have talked with the large healthcare organizations, they have provided that for the right student, they would be able to provide financial aid and support for their education to go through the program. So we have had those discussions, and that was shared with GMAX. I shared that, hey, I've had discussions with a couple of the large groups, and they are willing to do that, and maybe that's what they recommend. But that should not be the general representation. We should say, hey, we'll have to language not to make a representation that we are making student debt free, because it would be limited to a group of students who get that scholarship.
Okay. Yeah, those are things that we often get concerned about being misleading in the marketing place of essentially putting out there saying your school's free, and then they come and they find out later that it's not.
Now we will definitely will edit that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, based on Mr. Romano's recommendation and the overlap between applications for different schools and them not being specific to each school, I think that raises a major concern. I also have concerns when you go back to the marketing pieces. On the marketing piece, it shows like that you have monthly starts, and I don't understand that based on one classroom and a program taking 24 weeks. I think there's a lot here that needs to get sorted out. I think based on everything that has occurred today, I actually think we need to make a motion to defer your review of this application for all of this to get sorted out until April when all of these things can be addressed.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any open conversation with the board members? Hearing none. Roll call. Dr. Mittman?
Aye.
Dr. Mittman votes aye. Mr. Romano?
Aye.
Mr. Romano votes aye. Dr. Leck?
Aye.
Dr. Leck votes aye. Mr. Wallace?
Aye.
Mr. Wallace votes aye. Mr. Ball?
Aye.
Mr. Ball votes aye. Ms. Kelly?
Aye.
Ms. Kelly votes aye. Dr. Butte?
Aye.
Dr. Butte votes aye. That's a vote of 7 ayes, no nays. That motion will pass.
I appreciate the time, and once we get the feedback, we'll make sure that the amended application has all the correct business plan as well as the marketing material. So, thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Anand. Okay. I think we've reviewed all of the schools, and next up we have a call to the public. And Mr. Lamont, you have your hand up.
Dr. Mevin, members of the board, before we move on to the call of public, I just wanted to, first of all, thank you all for going through and reviewing this. Sometimes, from a board staff perspective, it's important for others to see some of the challenges that the staff has in putting all of this information together and getting it to you. And, you know, I know this was a challenging board meeting with, I don't think we've had 3 deferrals in quite some time. And back to the initial statement that I made, it's important for everybody on this call and everybody that reviews this to understand the rules, understand the statutes and what it takes to operate an institution, and don't push that accountability off on other folks. So thank you all for your patience today, and appreciate that.
Yeah. Well, thanks for adding that bit of those insights, and thank you to board members, and particularly Mr. Romano. I really appreciate your your both clarity and also your assertiveness. Very much appreciated. I see Dr. Butte and a member of the public who we know and appreciate being here. But first, Dr. Butte, did you have something?
Yes, I'm unsure if it's appropriate here or not, so forgive me if it's not. I just wanted to second Mr. Romano's comment on if we're seeing more of this kind of thing from a particular organization, is there something this board has any impact on in looking at that or creating awareness? And I don't need discussion. I just wanted to put the support out there of that comment from Mr. Romano.
Thank you. Good point. Okay. Now it's time for a call to the public. Ms. Cardullo, nice to see you.
Yes. Dr. Mitt, the members of the board and staff, I just wanted to say, echo those comments. It made me really appreciate all the hard work that staff does and all the hard work that the board has had to do and the dedication and time you did. And I feel like as a member of the public and the state of Arizona, I want to thank you for this consumer protection and oversight. It's not lost on me how hard that is. To Dr. Butte's point, I am representing the oldest and largest association of private post-secondary and the recognized voice of private post-secondary in Arizona. So I will be definitely talking to my members about some of the options for consultants or firms that promise to get you right through the process, because we know there's no shortcuts, and appreciate it.
Great. Thank you. Great. Anything else for the good of the order? Hearing nothing else, this meeting is adjourned at 12:04 p.m. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you both, staff. Appreciate
thank
it.
You.
Thank you.